Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the solstice, the first day of winter, the 21st of December. And this is a show that we've done for many years. We look at the best of 2009 fiction, nonfiction, children's books, and as our guest says, gift books as well, including cookbooks. I love this hour because I love to give books for the holidays, and we all like to talk about what we read and what the best read has been for the past year. We're very happy to have Daniel Golden with us, who comes in. I knew he was going to. I wondered how many books he would bring today. And he has all these books spread all over the studio, plus lists like you would not believe. So he'll have recommendations for you. And he's put together his own list of the books that he considers are the best in novels, nonfiction, gift books, and children's books as well. We'll welcome your phone calls, and I think we'll get a ton of them, Daniel. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Happy holidays. And you did not disappoint me. I knew you would come with all these books in hand, and it's great to see you, Daniel. Hello.
Thanks for having me. I always need a lot of visual cues around me. So
I know you do, but you brought lists too today, which is really good, and gave me a list of your best reads of 2009. So give me the pick, best fiction 2009, best nonfiction 2009.
I am very partial to the book Little Bee, and it's been a very emotional book for me just because I read it just as we were going in transition with our Schwartz closing and this Boswell opening. It's one of those books that every so often I hit a person who doesn't love the book, but the people who do love the book get very passionate about it. It's a book that works as an emotional and an intellectual book. It's one of two or three fiction books that I've just loved to sell this year.
What's it about?
It's about a Nigerian refugee who escapes from a very terrible thing in Nigeria, only to wind up in a detention center, and is searching for this man who can help her, only he has passed, and his widow, who is somewhat an unlikable character, is the only person who's left. The book is sort of tries to ask the question, how much would you give up to do the right thing?
So. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. It's a sweet book. It's funny. It's dark. It's everything mixed together. Another fiction book that I've really loved selling is called Await Your Reply by Dan Shaun. It's been showing up on a number of best of lists, including notable books of the year on the Times, as did Little Bee and Janet Maslin's Top 10. It is a sort of literary horror novel, in a way, about identity theft. It's three totally different stories about people who've jumped into situations where they question why they're there and they question who they are. One is a young woman who's run off with her high school teacher. Another is about a man searching for his twin in the Arctic. And the third one is about a boy who's been reunited with his father who runs an identity theft ring in the Michigan woods. The book's stories are totally feel totally separate, and then they slowly come together.
Ooh, sounds good.
It's wonderful. It's written sort of like a Stephen King, Peter Straub novel. It's got a very straightforward storytelling style. It's very tense, but it's beautifully plotted with a really great twist. Please don't read the ending before you finish the book.
Do people do that?
Oh, all the time.
Really? Why?
All the time. They just can't help themselves. And so many of the books that I really love this year do have these twists where I don't want people to ruin it. The third book, both books have something that you don't want to know when you read the book. In fact, Little Bee was originally positioned and the publisher sent out to all the booksellers, I mean, we're not going to tell you what it's about. Just read it. And my third fiction book that I really love is called Blame by Michelle Hunnivan. It's about a woman who goes to prison for killing two door-to-door religious, I think, Jehovah's Witnesses. And she is a terrible drinker. She's had an awful alcohol problem. The book is a lot about her redemption. Michelle Hunnivan writes with wonderful grace about characters. She's similar to Richard Russo in style. Mm. But once again, there's a twist that I really don't want people to know because it really changes the way you read the book.
Okay. nonfiction for me, this isn't holiday reading necessarily. This David Finkel book, The Good Soldier. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it or not. It is a masterpiece, I think. It's not just the Iraq War, it's war. What happens to young people and how they leave their families and when they die. It's a very, very moving book. I just thought it was brilliant.
That was a great interview, too, that you had with him. It's top 10 of the year on the Times.
Yeah, I noticed that. And I was surprised, but there it was.
Well, people keep saying, what more can you write about the Iraq War? And this is a book that really does a great job in terms of writing about the soldiers during the great surge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very well done. I only get to nonfiction, so I went out and got some fiction for the holidays. I'm going to be off for a few days during the holidays, but it's all nonfiction. You can read both, but
I do.
That's what you do, right?
The problem with some of my nonfiction is I tend to read in areas that are hard for me to sell. So one area I do love to sell is food culture and the foodie books. And the best one I've read this year was Knives at Dawn by Andrew Friedman. It's about step-by-step about the America's quest for the Bocuse d'Or, and I apologize for my terrible French pronunciation. People who watch Top Chef will know there was a Bocuse d'Or mini competition this season, and America's always done – the United States has always done very poorly in the competition. So last year they recruited Danielle Ballou and Thomas Keller to lead the coaching team and did everything they could to make it happen. It's a very step-by-step, behind-the-scenes. It's got lots of foodie details. It's a very fun book. There's been a lot of really great literary biographies this year, and including Ayn Rand's John Cheever's by Blake Bailey, and the third would be Raymond Carver's by Carol Sklenica. Being that each one of them are massive tomes, I only got around to reading the Raymond Carver, which I loved. And it's also a top 10 for the year on the Times.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories that you wouldn't believe they could you couldn't make it up. He had a terrible life. Terrible, hardscrabble family from loggers. Lots of missing fingers in the family. Awful alcohol problem, very tempestuous first marriage, lots of changes and constantly changing jobs and going in and out of writing programs, and at the same time a very intense relationship when he was discovered by Gordon Lish, his editor, who wound up really changing a lot of his work, especially in his second collection of stories. And a bad relationship with the kids, and then stopped drinking, all turned around, 12 years of different happy
oh,
Ray.
My.
And it's a really wonderful book, or page turner, really.
Huh. I haven't read yet The National Parks, the Ken Burns book. I understand that it was a beautiful – I haven't even seen the series. I don't know where I've been.
Oh, I've had a lot
of – It's beautiful. You've had a lot of people request it, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And we've also done very well with Douglas Brinkley's Teddy Roosevelt Roosevelt book about the founding of the national parks. So that was a very much a wonderful thing in the fall. And now there's been a big surge in people buying it as gifts. And not every Ken Burns book works. We all think about the Civil War was a huge success, but they don't always go. This one is definitely selling very well.
Why do you think that is? Because we've all been there? Or?
They would pay me a lot of money if I could figure that out.
Yeah, I'll bet they would. You could be ahead of the game and tell people what they got to write.
Well, we're always, especially with gift books, we're always hitting ourselves for what we didn't make a big stand on once it takes off. The big book this year is the Red Book by the Jung Reg Book, which is his notebooks. It's $195. Good luck if you can find a copy.
But really? Why?
It's on the extended bestseller list. They are astounded at the success of this
really?
Book. Yes, it's incredibly beautiful. We have a long waiting list for books. And this has been an interesting year because you would think people would be very price sensitive, but there have been several books at the $50 plus range that have been really working. Another one, there's a lot of really wonderful cookbooks out there, but the one that's gotten the most acclaim is Thomas Keller's Ad Hoc at Home. And it's very hard to find. That book we actually do have copies of because we had an event with him. He cooked for 250 people at Bacchus and was
It was wonderful.
Yeah. I got to taste a little piece of lamb. So. But it's a beautiful book, and it's his first book that you can really cook out of. Thomas Keller, oddly enough, the same Knives at Dawn guy. So there's a little trend here of reading from one book to another. And he had French Laundry, which is an incredible book, really, but hard to cook out of. And then Bouchon, the French Bistro book. And this book is family-style cooking.
What about Julia Child's book? Has that been resurrected as a result of the wonderful movie I saw over the weekend? I just love Meryl Streep. She is so good. She is so good.
We have not been selling Mastering the Art of French Cooking in years since. No, we are now.
Oh,
we
you are
not,
now.
That was okay. One of those clausey type sentences. So we haven't sold it this well in years. It's been an amazing success. Also, national bestseller in a way that she hadn't been before. I'm still told that The Way to Cook is by far the best book to read, which we also sell well, but it's all Mastering the Art of French Cooking, and her memoir, and Julie and Julia. They're all selling.
Oh, they're all selling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see the movie? It's a lovely movie.
I feel I've had so many people describe it to me that
I feel like I've seen it.
No, I have to say, especially with the first year of running the store, I'm loath to even step outside and get a sandwich. So,
No, really?
I'm there a lot.
I guess you are. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We're talking about the best books of 2009. Patty from Green Bay is with us. Daniel. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Kathleen. Merry Christmas. Hey, I have a couple
Patty,
books.
Whoops. Am I doing, hi, Patty.
Hi, Kathleen. Merry Christmas.
And to you too, Patty.
Well, thank you. I have a couple books. We listened to the Graveyard book with our 13-year-old and our 8-year-old when we were on vacation. It's by Neil Gaiman. It's the Newbery Award winner. I don't know if you guys have heard of it or not. His premise was taking, writing like Rudyard Kipling and doing a jungle book, but set in the graveyard.
Hmm. Oh, we sell the book like crazy.
And really?
You would love it, Kathleen.
Really?
Yeah.
It sort of came out last year, so it was on my last year list. But this year, it not only won the Newbery, but it won the highest science fiction award.
It's amazing.
For adults. So it's
a great book.
It's done very well. And he is Wisconsin's own. He lives right over the very far west, northwest.
He would be a great interview.
Yeah, I guess he would. Give me the name again, please.
I think it's Neil Gaiman.
Gaiman.
Am I saying that right?
Gaiman. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next book is one Christmas we bought a Dave Barry book called Walter the Miracle Dog, which we read as a family, which my kids loved. Thought it was hilarious. And the other book that I read this summer is an adult. I do read adult books. was The Last Lion about Ted Kennedy.
Oh, I want to read that. I haven't read that yet.
I would love that book for Christmas.
You would?
Yeah.
Make a note, everyone.
Okay. Do people know your voice, Patty?
I hope so.
You know, I would like that book for Christmas, too.
Well, there. We have the same.
Patty.
I just want to have it. I got it at the library.
I would like to. Yeah,
it.
I would like to read it, too. I really would.
You would
All
love
right.
it. I know. So those, and I heard that Olive Kittredge is a good book, and my book club might be reading that. So I don't know if you've heard of that book or not. But
Olive Kittredge is our best-selling book of the year. It not only did it win the Pulitzer Prize, but I've now talked to judges for both the National Book Award and the National Book Critics Circle, where it was shortlisted, and both of them said it was a desperate fight, and they both wanted Olive Kittredge to win that too.
Then we will read it. But thank you, guys.
Thanks, Patty.
Great Christmas.
Bye. Thanks. Bye. Frank is next from Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been a good year for books. And, one was John Keegan's book on the American Civil War. You know, as a teacher of soldiers, he sort of went to the battlefield and wrote the book from that perspective. But I didn't want to call about that. Absolutely the best book that I've seen this year is The Black Book of Color by Manita Khotin. And this is a book that's never going to be downloaded, and you can't experience it on a Kindle. but what it is a kinesthetic presentation of color. It does have text, but commonly a children's book, but it's fantastic experience for the blind, and it's certainly for adults. There's no, I've never seen a book that's as sensual. And it's not expensive. You know, $15
Okay, The Black Book of Colors.
Of Color, Menina Cotin, C-O-T-I-N.
C-O-T-I-N. Do you know this, Daniel?
You know, I'm getting it confused because there was another book about black that was reviewed recently that I was chasing down for a customer that's out of stock everywhere. But I don't think it was – I think that was more of an adult's book. Black is very hot. So I get a lot of requests for black T-shirts. So, but it sounds like a really great book.
Yes, it, well, if it comes, the recommendation comes from Frank. It's a good book. Yeah.
Oh, but
exquisite
have a very good
taste.
To you all. Take
thanks,
care.
Thanks,
bye.
Frank.
Bye.
Thanks very much for the call. John is next from Appleton. Hi, John.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, happy holidays.
And you too.
Oh, thank you. I finished a book last night that's really good. It was on an audio version by David Susskind. Both of the books that I'm going to suggest are inside-out books because they have you reflect on how you act and then how you can interact successfully with the outside world. So that book was called The Way of the World. Okay.
Okay.
And the other book I read was actually a textbook. Is by Malcolm Gladwell, The Outliers.
Yes.
Really, really good. I mean, educationally, it's really, really good for ideas on improving our educational system. And it really enhances, I guess, people's own interconnections with their past because it draws on their family and their personal history to really help them appreciate more than we do in many cases.
He's big right now, isn't he?
I would say Outliers is our best-selling nonfiction book of the year that wasn't connected to some sort of event that we did.
Interesting.
So, and he's got his new collection of essays as well. That whole genre of big idea books, which has really broken out over the last few years, I would say Super Freakonomics is in that vein too. But people do love to read him, and he's a wonderful writer.
That's a great way to describe them, big idea books. That's good because they come along every now and then.
I got that idea from, you know, we had this at Schwartz, we had a corporate sales division called 800 CEO Read, and that was one of their ways that things that I didn't see as business books, they would say were business books. They're usually they had a book called Made to Stick, which was their book of the year a couple of years ago that was sort of like that. This year, their book of the year was Too Big to Fail by Andrew Ross Sorkin. They just gave away the 800 CEO Read Business Book Awards. It's considered probably the best book on the meltdown.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm's latest book released this year called What the Dog Saw. Yeah. I haven't read that. Yeah.
Not those are
that's
more
the name of it.
The essays from the time the New Yorker that they couldn't
oh,
put
yes,
together.
Oh, right.
Idea.
Of course, it's on the bestseller list. So. Yeah, I know that one now. All right, let's have we done our pause? I don't think so. We need to pause for a moment and we'll return. Best books of 2009 is what we're talking about this hour, and we're pleased to have in studio along with tons of lists and lots of books he brought along, Daniel Golden, Boswell Book Company. He is the owner of that. It's on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel Golden is our guest, owner of Boswell Book Company, and we're talking about the best books of 2009. What about children's books? I know you've included that on your list.
I did.
Whoops, let me get your mic on. There we go.
There are several kids' books that we've been really loved and enjoying selling, several of which have shown up on some of the notable children's lists of the year. Obviously, the Newbery and the Caldecott don't come till next year, so we don't know what the librarians think. One is Lucy Cousins' Yummy, which is a collection of redone fairy tales. It's been selling very, very well, and kids really love it. Some of them have they're not censored, so to speak, but they do have happy endings generally. And another book that I really love to sell is Otis by Lauren Long. It is about a small tractor that's put out to pasture when the farmer gets a brand new tractor. But only the little tractor figures out a way to save his friend, the little calf, and the calf gets stuck in the mud in the lake.
Aww.
And the illustrations, the story is very cute, but the illustrations are just wonderful. They they harken back to lots of old kids' books, Monroe Leaf and Ferdinand, and you see little pictures. There's homages to all your favorite kids' books in it. It's just charming.
Oh, I have some friends who only read children's books, and when you describe that, I can see why. You don't have to go beyond that, do you? Skip all this history. That's lovely.
For kids who if you're wondering what to get a kid who reads the Twilight series, we finally have a book that we can really stand behind called Beautiful Creatures. That's doing very well. And that have gotten really great reads from kids and librarians and also booksellers, of course. There's a wonderful book called The Maze Runner, which is one of those middle grade to YA, I think, more, 12 to 14, that works really well for boys. A terrific kind of speculative adventure story. And it's been, kids' books are always very fun.
Mm-hmm. So. Thanks for the call, John. We go to Nicole from La Crosse next. Hi, Nicole.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I actually have two books that I'd like to talk about that came out this year. Both kind of changed the way I thought about different things. The first one is called Born to Run, A Hidden Tribe, Super Athletes in the Greatest Race the World Has Never Seen by Christopher McDougall. And it was basically about a tribe in Mexico that is kind of hidden away, that they can run up to 400 miles at a time, and Woo. They do this all with little straps of leather wrapped around their feet. And the author set out on this journey to find these people after he asked himself the question, like, why does my foot hurt when I run? Because he never understood it, and the doctors kept telling him it was because we're not supposed to run, and that's just all false. And I basically decided, like, after I watched this, never to spend money on running shoes again and just use the old ones. And they say that that's the best way to do it. And this tribe in Mexico is hidden away, like I said. And right now, like, drug cartels are coming through their areas. And the reason the guy wrote the book, too, is to make sure that people know that this is happening and try to save these people from being extinct by these drug cartels coming through.
Right. Oh, that sounds like quite a read.
We sell it like crazy. And
really?
It is like the adventure book of the year. So if there's no, John Krakauer wrote a very different kind of book this year, but if you're looking for that shipwreck book or that ski accident book, we actually send people to this book. We're constantly getting great feedback, and any tribe that runs pretty much barefoot is close to my heart, because my father, when he was alive in the 70s, would run barefoot, and everyone would freak out about how crazy he was.
Did he run on the beach? Or
he ran all over the place. He'd run on tracks. He'd run on
barefoot.
Yeah, he was an odd guy, but much ahead of his time, apparently.
I guess so. That sounds like a great read. Thank you. Here's an email that's come in. The best coffee table book for people who love gorgeous pictures and all things Antarctic is Stuart Clipper's book, From the Circle to the Pole. He's been there 5 times, has done other work in the high Arctic for most of his career. This is the first book of panoramic photos, and the binding and the layout are interesting, too. Familiar with that one?
No, I'm not.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it does sound very good. I'll go back and look.
Our number is 800-486-8655. Sharon, our next caller. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Sharon. To you, too.
This one is a little off the beaten path, but the author was interviewed by Bill Moyers,
mm-hmm.
and I bought the book. I got the book from the library. I have to go buy it because I can't underline the library book. The name of the book is The Third Chapter. You're not quite in it yet, and that young man's a long ways from it. It has to do with life changes from probably 50 to 75.
Oh, that sounds like a good interview, too.
She was a wonderful interview. It's too bad you don't have television, because she's a gorgeous woman. She's been, I believe I'm right in this, a professor at Harvard for 37 years.
Mm. Oh, that sounds interesting.
Has a special chair. She's articulate, and that would make a nice interview.
Yes.
But I love the book. I'm getting close to the end of that span there, so I've got to hurry up. But it's almost another take on midlife crisis, except it's not midlife crisis. It's a very positive book, just real positive, uplifting, and Maybe a little bit spiritual, although she doesn't come right out and use the words, but just really very encouraging book as you age.
Great. I will get that book and give it to some friends as well.
Well, yes, it would be a great gift book.
All right.
It's so it's interesting how many wonderful books come out of Harvard courses and professors. So one of the books that we've been selling very well is Michael Sandel's Justice, What's the Right Thing to Do? And it's from his ethics course. And it's sort of a big idea about ethics. We say it's sort of what Gladwell is to business and what Levitt is to economics. This is the ethics philosophy book. We've gotten really great reads, and we're really enjoying selling
Justice,
it.
It's
Justice.
Called. Mm-hmm. And the author again?
It's Michael J. Sandel.
Sandel. That sounds good. Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Let's talk more, probably for my own self-interest, but I always like biographies, too. They make good interviews frequently. One of my favorites from last year, because not enough has been written about her, was, and I can't remember the author, the Abigail Adams book, which I really like that book. I know so much time to, it, mostly because of Women in the Revolution, too, and it's interesting to think about who she could have been had women had a more prominent role. Not that she did already have a prominent role, but she was a thinker, and it was interesting, really interesting. But who wrote it? Do you know?
No,
you don't either.
Remember.
Somebody will know.
There's a lot.
No, Rhonda's going to know here for us
right.
in a moment. Rhonda's going to, if
right.
she's listening, she'll write it down. I should have written it down somewhere. She'll write it down. Woody, there we go. Thank you, Rhonda. You're right on it. Holton. Woody Holton. That was the author. It's a good book. Susan from Rice Lake is next. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi.
This is a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Susan.
One of the books that I read, I think it came out this year or last year, I can't remember, but The Road by Cormac McCarthy. My daughter is a great reader, too, and she hated it, but I liked it. It has kept it in my mind for a long, long time, and I don't know what anybody else thought about it, but I truly liked it.
I'm sorry, I missed the name, please.
The Road.
The Road?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you like, and of course the movie is just opening now. And,
oh, right.
So written several years ago, but a wonderful book. If you like apocalyptic fiction, you might want to read the last two Margaret Atwood books, Oryx and Crake, and her new book, which of course the name escapes me at the moment. And also, if you like the tone of his books, most of his books are Westerns, actually. This is a very different kind of book.
Yeah.
You might want to read Per Peterson, especially Out Stealing Horses.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing of it is, really, it's the one book that I've read in the last couple of years that have really stuck with me. I don't know why. It's very... my daughter didn't like it because it didn't give enough detail, but I liked it because it didn't. it just kind of grabbed me, and I've had a hard time forgetting it, you know? It keeps coming back. I look outside, and I see the sky and the green trees and, you know, everything, and then I think of that book and how awful it must have been, and it really resonated with me for some reason. But that's all I had to say.
You have to read more Cormac McCarthy. You'll love
him. I will.
Mm-hmm. And Year of the Flood was the other book I was thinking of, the Margaret Atwood.
Oh, Year of the Flood. Yeah, I have that one, too.
Oh, see, there you go. You like destruction.
Well, no, it's just something that you think about once in a while.
I was teasing.
Yeah, I know. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. In that movie, didn't I read a review of the, or an interview with the lead actor, I think? Yeah.
Getting a lot of attention.
Yeah. Here are some things that came in on Facebook. I want to bounce these off you. The Art of Racing in the Rain. Do you know about that book by Garth Stein? Somebody says it was absolutely loved. Robin Lutz said this. I absolutely love that book.
Very passionate. We sell it very well. It's one of those books that we were selling and then we forgot about. And we said, let's look and see what other independent bookstores are selling. And we brought back a piles more, and now we're selling it well again. It's one of those books that you cry voluminous amounts of tears at the end. It's through the perspective of a dog. It's the dog story.
There you go. Mm. You got me. It's a dog story.
But it's a novel through the dog.
That sounds great.
Book.
What about children's books, The Evolution of Alcalpurnia, Tate by Jacqueline Kelly, a girl living in 1899 wants to be a scientist, empowering story for grades 5 to 8.
I've heard it's very good, yeah. So okay. I don't know much about it. But.
And have we talked about this already, the Guernsey Literary? Is this last year's book, Literary and Potato Peel Society?
Last year in hardcover, this year in paperback, but still selling like crazy. The book was originally written by Marianne Barrows and with her niece and Barrows has since Annie Barrows and Marianne Schaefer, I'm sorry. Schaefer has passed away and Barrows is actually going to write another book. And it's about the Guernsey, where is the one part of the England that was occupied by the Nazis and a book club that hides somebody from the Nazis. Mm-hmm. It's all through letters like 84 Charing Cross Road. It's
kind
of got that sort of feel.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I did like it, and a lot of my booksellers liked it as well.
Okay. So. Thank you, Susan. Very nice to hear from you. Let us go next to Rayanne from Duluth, one of our favorite places. Hi, Rayanne.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Well, I would like to talk about, it's a brand new book, and it's called Divine Daisy. And it's a transpersonal tale. It's a children's book, and it's a transpersonal tale.
Okay.
And it is the most incredible book I've probably ever read. And you can purchase it. It's through Bumblebee Hollow Press. And it's a story about a little boy and his dog. And it's just a wonderful book.
What's the name of it again?
Divine Daisy.
Divine Daisy.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go next to Stephanie from Milwaukee. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I've got actually two suggestions. The first one is a great coffee table book. It'd be a great Christmas gift or holiday gift. It's called A Lifetime of Secrets.
Okay.
And I can't think of the editor's name offhand. I don't have it sitting in front of me right now. But it started off as a guy put together an art show, really, where he asked people to send in postcards anonymously and write their secrets on them.
Oh, yes.
It was a huge art show, like out on the East Coast somewhere a few years ago. And he's now turned it into, I think he's got a couple different volumes of books of it now.
Yeah.
Post-Secret's the most famous one, because they're all postcards, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, people get very fascinated by that book. So. Yeah,
I just thought it was really interesting, and just from a visual perspective, too, that it's really interesting to flip through and just see the different ways that the people interpret their secrets and what they come up with for design. Yeah. And then the second book that just came up, you guys keep the subject of dogs has come up a couple of times in the last few minutes, and it reminded me of a book came out a few years ago called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon, I believe.
Yes, that's it, definitely. So that's a wonderful book, yeah.
Right, a novel written from the perspective of an autistic boy who discovers a dead dog, and I'm a nurse, and I just find it was the first time I've ever read a book that was written from the perspective of someone with autism, and I thought it was very, very interesting and very enlightening for anyone who's interested in autism.
He discovers a dead dog?
It doesn't. Yes. That's not. Don't worry about it. It's a lovely book.
It's not morbid or morose or anything like that at all. It's
You're
just
funny.
How this kid sort of tackles, you know, people with autism tend to be detached and rather emotionless, and he just kind of goes about solving this mystery.
Oh.
And it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it was shortlisted, longlisted for the Booker the year it came out. And
really?
His next book was wonderful, too. And there's that whole subcategory of books like Motherless Brooklyn, written from somebody with Tourette's, where you sort of try to bring the disease into the story. He does a great job.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your call. Did you talk about this one already? But it's a nice title, The Power of Kindness.
Oh, I did not. I was thinking about it when we were talking about that third chapter book. It's a book that we actually discovered we had a meeting with we have these sales reps present to us books to give us some ideas of what to sell this Christmas. And one of our sales reps said, this book is not new. It's actually a couple years old, but it's never sold very well, except at one store, which is Garrison Keillor's store in St. Paul, which had sold. It's called Common Ground, I think, has sold 150 copies of the book. And it's a book about how kindness is obviously helps the people you help, but it also helps yourself and it helps the world in different ways. And it's written by an Italian psychotherapist and philosopher. And it's one of those books that's just beautiful with the special rough cut pages and the French flaps. And I looked at the book and I looked at my buyer next to us and I said, we need 5 copies of that book right away. And we started reading the book and it's got a quote from the Dalai Lama and it's got a quote from Richard Carlson, which was an interesting combination. And we sold the books immediately and the word of mouth is just great on the book. And it's obviously a wonderful sentiment for this time. And it works for us because it's a very smart book. It's not trite on the subject. It works for somebody who wants just a simple message, but there's a lot of thought that goes involved into the story.
Yeah. So
it's a great book.
Isn't there – what's the Kurt Vonnegut quote? Isn't it about kindness that – I mean, it's a simple thing that what the world needs is more acts of kindness or something like that, which is – you know, it sounds trite, as you were saying, but it's not the power of kindness. That's a good thing to think about.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, we're having fun. We got to pause for a moment and we'll return. We're talking about the best books of 2009, going a little bit beyond that this hour of the program, and welcoming your phone calls. Daniel Golden is our guest. He is the owner of the Boswell Book Company, which is on Downer Avenue here in Milwaukee. And our phone number is 800-486-8655. I'm going to tell you, too, that we're asking you to put your favorites on Facebook. I can't read all of them because I got two things on this screen and I can't read them all, but you know, that's why you have Facebook too, so you can go there and write what your favorites are as well. So just go to our page, The Kathleen Dunn Show at Facebook, and we'll be happy to hear your recommendations too, because that's what Facebook is all about. It's just an extended community. Before we pause for just one moment, here's a nice email that came in. Daniel, I volunteer for hospice. I'm looking for a mystery book to read to an 89-year-old woman. I need something that I can get from the library and may not be in demand at this time. I'm not the best out loud reader, so a book that is easy to read would be great.
I would say one lovely book, the series is about in the fifth or sixth, is Maisie Dobbs by Jacqueline Winspear. It's about a woman working during World War II. It's sweet, but it's got some nice action. And it reminds me, I had a very close friend who just passed away. Mark Gates was a wonderful sales rep. And we were thinking about all the books that he had helped break. He was an incredibly great mystery reader. And it's the book we've been thinking about a lot now. We brought in more copies and we're really enjoying selling it.
Yeah. So. Okay, great. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we're talking about best books of 2009. I know some of you are asking us to repeat the titles and to speak more slowly, but, you know, we're in a whirl here. We're brainstorming about books. So the only thing I can tell you at this point is to go to online and listen to the show in a couple hours in case you miss some of these, because some that are being called in, too, I don't know how to spell these, and we're just, you know, Daniel's got a mind full of books, and we're just got a lot of books going on, emails, etc. So that's probably the best way to get the title of something that really caught your fancy. All right, let's go back to phone calls to Jeanette from Milwaukee. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. I have a horrible feeling that I read this 2 years ago and not last.
It's all right. We'll let you talk.
Well, I'm recommending The Poet of Tolstoy Park by Sonny Brewer. It's about an elderly man whose wife died, and he's determined to, instead of spending the rest of his life the way he has, to downsize and change it. And the hardest thing to do for him was to part with all the books he had.
Oh.
I had to write this down because I went through this too. And I'm sure that Dan receives a lot of books from people who've had to go through the same life change. Anyway, he gave his books to his son, he gave away his books to his son, Thomas, because the books would continue to breathe out their fiery ideas. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
So it's easier to part with your books when you know they will continue to breathe in somebody else's hand.
Yes.
So thank you.
Thank you so much. I like that.
We buy and sell books, secondhand books as well. And so many people who come in, they're not really concerned about making the most money. They just want a good home.
I understand completely. Thank you, Jeanette, so much for the call. And what about the book she talked about, The Poet of Tolstoy Park? That's ringing a bell with me somehow. No?
You're doing better than I am then.
It's not ringing a bell.
No.
With you. Okay.
I'm blank.
All right. You'll be on it, though. I know you
yeah,
will.
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Martha from Kearney, Minnesota. Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they interviewed Brian Pitts on PBS one afternoon, and he wrote a book, Stepping Out on Nothing. It's either Stepping Out on Nothing or Stepping on Nothing. I went and bought that book. It's one of the most wonderful books I've ever read. And he's, right now, he's on 60 Minutes. He's a reporter and a I don't know what you call it, a journalist. And what he tells the story of his life. And what a struggle he had to come up. And it's just so inspiring, and it's a wonderful book, and it's well written. So I would say, I mean, I went and bought the book. It cost me $26, I guess it was, but worth every penny of it. It's a wonderful book that he wrote. And I think Oprah should put that on her book, you know, for her book club, because it's a book that's worth reading. Anybody that's had any trouble learning in school or, you know, problems like that, he talks about it and what he went through and how he arrived to where he is now. I mean, it's nothing short of a miracle. Mm. So I highly recommend that book.
Thank you, Martha. Thanks very much for the call. Familiar
okay.
with it? I'm not familiar with it. No.
Nah.
She gave it high endorsement. That's great.
Yeah.
Is there something else you want to be sure that you brought? I want you to bring all your books without having talked about them.
I was thinking of, as I mentioned, our best-selling book this year that wasn't connected to an event was Olive Kitteridge. And it's a collected short stories. And so we've been doing short stories go in and out, and it's been actually a very good year for them. There's On the Times also was Maile Malloy's and Both Ways is the Only Way I Want It, one of the top 10 books of the year. One of the books that was noted that just they rushed into paperback because it was a short shortlisted for the National Book Award was Daniel Wienedon's In Other Rooms, Other Wonders, which is connected stories about an estate in Pakistan. Some of the stories are about poor people, some stories about rich people, some of the stories are about the middle class. The short stories that are about the poor people have more of a fable-like quality. The stories that are of the wealthier people are more modern in structure. He has a connection to Milwaukee as he grew up for a time in Elroy. It's just spectacular. He's coming to Milwaukee. He's only doing a 4-city tour for the paperback in January, on the 20th, I might say. sorry, plug.
Sorry.
And it's just really
give
a
me the name
stories.
Again.
In Other Rooms, Other Wonders, and his name is, and I don't know if I pronounce it right, Daniel Mwinodin. And actually, the short in terms of the National Book Award. There was another book that was shortlisted that was short stories, American Salvage by Bonnie Jo Campbell. She lives in Michigan, I think. And that was actually done by a very small university press, but a trade publisher picked it up for paperback, and they're rushing it out.
Great. All right, let's go to – thank you, Martha, for your call. We go to Greg from Racine next. Hi, Greg.
Hi there. I read almost entirely nonfiction, so this is what interests me the most. First of all, two of my favorite books about Lincoln in this bicentennial year, one is called Looking for Lincoln, and it, oddly enough, begins with Lincoln's assassination and proceeds from there through the years to the opening of the Lincoln Memorial and chronicles, mostly through photographs and also in text, how Lincoln came to be venerated and the observations made and the first books written from it. It's absolutely fascinating.
Mm.
And then Ronald C. White's new biography of Lincoln called A. Lincoln, which just came out this year, is absolutely superb. And then a book about World War II veterans, troubled World War II veterans by Thomas Childers called soldier from the war returning. And he kind of wrote that in response to Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation, which seemed to paint what he felt was kind of a sugar-coated picture of World War II veterans returning in triumph, when in fact, of course, many of them came back very troubled and scarred. And it's a very, very moving account of that. It was just an absolutely wonderful book.
Mm.
And then finally, Dominique LaPierre's book, Rainbow in the Night, which just came out, which is a fascinating look at the emergence of South Africa.
Mm.
And I learned all kinds of things about how the nation of South Africa came into being. And Dominique LaPierre is maybe most famous for probably the definitive book about the Bhopal disaster. They just celebrated the anniversary, or you don't celebrate an anniversary like that, but
marked it, yeah.
The 25th anniversary of that. But this is his newest book, and a really interesting look. And it goes from the early history of South Africa through to the present day and the downfall of apartheid. But it's, I think, important for a lot of people to read. I learned a lot.
Wonderful. Well, you've been a great source of recommendations. Thank you.
Nonfiction books that seem to be showing up on a lot of lists, Fordlandia, The Rise and Fall of Henry Ford's Forgotten Jungle City, Greg Grandin, on the notable books of the year, and also a finalist for the National Book Award. A couple of really great science books, Sean Carroll's, who I think is in Madison, Remarkable Creatures, Epic Adventures in the Search for the Origin of Species, also shortlisted for the National Book Award. So there's really great nonfiction. It just takes me so long to read it. So
yeah, I know. Well, you can have several of those going at the same time because you can go back to it.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you. I can't do multiple books at the same time. My customers will say, I've got 10 books. Oh,
it's okay, Daniel. I wouldn't downplay your ability to read books. I think you're way up there. It's okay. Here's somebody from Platteville who writes, for young people who were teenagers in the 60s or for youth, I suggest a book called The Rock and the River by Tekla Magoon. It is from the perspective of a 13-year-old black child in Chicago in 1968 and deals with a generation gap, militancy versus passive resistance, and the world that black teenagers were growing up in the 1960s. Well written and a relatively quick read. That sounds interesting.
Oh, very. I was thinking of people are interested in nonfiction a lot. Two books that came out, very unusual. We're seeing more graphic nonfiction coming out.
Yeah.
And two that just struck a chord with a lot of people were David Small Stitches, his memoir in pictures about his childhood illness. Was shortlisted for the National Book Award for Young People's Literature, but almost nobody would say it's for kids. And another book called Logic Comics, which is getting raves all over the place and showing up on Best Ofs. And that's about the life of Bertrand Russell. And really great reads in my store, and we're selling it very well as our booksellers all across the country. I'm sure it'll show up in a lot of Best Ofs.
Great. Let's go next to Maureen from Eau Claire. Hi, Maureen.
Hi. I have two. I just finished The Help, and I think the author was Catherine Sackett. I'm not sure. But The Help is about black women in Mississippi in the 1960s who are working for white households and raising the children, and then how they're treated and how they have to leave their own families and go into the white section. And it was just wonderful, I thought.
And
fiction,
you would, it's a novel, yes. It is definitely, it's the absolute breakout novel of the year.
Really?
It's a first novelist. It is selling everywhere. It's selling in the highest end independent bookstores. It's selling in the mass merchandisers. It is, a lot, people compare it to To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh my gosh.
Just the reads, people come back so passionate about this book.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got really nervous. I had to put it down to see if I wanted to see what was going to happen. I had to wait. It was just good. And the other one, I can't remember the author, but I think it was called Guernsey Reading Society and Potato Peel Pie.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit ago. That's a big seller as well.
Oh, that was wonderful, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was mine.
All right, there's a good one to know about, The Help. Ruth is next. We're running out of time, so we have to be short. Ruth, hi, from Mineral Point.
Hi, very quick. A biography that you will love. Rosalie Edge, Hawk of Mercy by Diana Fermansky. Rosalie Edge was at the beginning of the conservation movement in America. She is completely unknown and an unsung hero responsible for so many of our national Parks, and actually she took on the Audubon Society when they were not really preserving all species, but only ones of commercial value. And Diana would be a great guest.
Oh, I would imagine so.
It's a wonderful book. This woman was in the suffrage movement, and what she learned there, she brought to organizing a environmental movement. She was very close with Harold Ickes, and they together plotted.
All right, we're on it. Thanks so much. Thanks for your call. Daniel, thank you. I hate to let the hour end. It was just wonderful. Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Same to you. It's
okay.
A pleasure.
Yeah, great pleasure. Daniel Golden is the owner of Boswell Book Company. It's on Downer Avenue here in Milwaukee. Thanks, everybody, for all your suggestions. I ask you to go to Facebook, too, if you have more suggestions. This is just so much fun. You hate to have it end. We're at the Kathleen Dunn Show, and if you would write down your best read, your best book of 2009, that would be great, and then we can all share some of the common knowledge. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. She's writing hers down there, too, and she's a librarian. She knows her books. And thanks to Rhonda for producing the show and doing on-air production.